This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This show is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. Go to southwestpos.com. Why? Because if you have a little liquor store, grocery store, small market, maybe a large market, and you're tired of trying to keep a cashier, well, go to self-checkout. Walmart, Home Depot, Costco, they've all done it. Give these guys a call at 800-540-2149. They'll be more than happy to come out, take a look at your facility. And if their system fits your system, it's as easy as buying a cash register. Plus, you get over 150 years experience, and that's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And if you got a Porsche Mini or a BMW, you might want to take a look at Black Forest Motorsports for an alternative to the dealer. These guys have got over 40-plus years experience, not only maintaining your car, but if you wanted to go racing, you can do that too. Hey, let's get ready to see if Marcy is called in. Marcy, are you there?
Hi, this is Macy.
Oh, it's Macy. Sorry about that. M-A-C-I, my mistake. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Probably could be doing better if you were racing, huh?
Yes, always.
So how old are you?
I'm 15 years old.
Oh, so you just... Is this your first season, second season, or have you been running a while?
I have raced for a year in August. Okay. It'll be 2 years this year.
All right. So you, in kids racing, kind of got into it a little bit late. Was there a reason for that, or did it just one day you said, you know what, I'm going to give this a try?
Well, in IMCA, in the class that I was running, and you couldn't race until you're 14, so I did everything that I could, and then the second I turned 14, I got into it.
Boom. Boom. So does anybody in the family race besides you?
No, but we go to the desert and things like that, and so we've been around it.
Gotcha. In fact, Brittany, who set this interview up, she's coming out of the desert as we speak, just turned sweet 50. And so she's pretty excited. She's more excited about getting back to racing. She cannot wait till April 1st, which will be the first race at Barona. Where do you race out of?
I race at Barona. That's our closest track. But I also race in Arizona at CocoBot Speedway.
Yeah.
And I went to Boone, Iowa for Super Nationals.
Wow.
And hopefully... headed to more tracks this coming up year.
Oh, so you're going to do the old try to hit as many as you possibly can, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah. Do you have any sponsors?
I do.
Who are they?
I'd love to thank all of them. Tarzan Tree Service, M-Power, Calendar, Johnson Tractor, Inc., West Coast Air, Used Specialty Tires, Ron's Tire and Brake, SDG Suspension, San Diego Septic, Emory Engineering, and right now we're working with Maxima.
Cool. That sounds pretty good. What kind of car do you drive?
I race a Pontiac Sunfire in the Sport Compact class.
Oh, that's a pretty popular car in that class, isn't it?
Yes, it is, along with the Chevy Cavalier.
Yeah, you just got to be able to find them.
Yes, definitely.
So you got a pretty good-sized crew, or is it just... you and Dad, who helps you out in the pits?
Well, normally our Sport Compact class, we have a good amount of cars, but a lot of us are all locals and friends, so we all help out each other.
Oh, good.
But I always have my parents, my mom and my dad, my uncle, my dad's really good friend, Billy, who I also race with, and lots of family and friends that come to support.
Right. And that's so important. And it's just so much fun, too. So now you've only been racing one season, so you may not be aware how good the Barona track has gotten, you know, with the hard work of the Salazars. That track is almost perfect. So you should have a really good time this season.
Yes, they do put in a lot of hard work to make that track so great for us every other weekend or whenever we get the chance to race there.
Yeah, I know. I know you'd rather race every weekend, but they're working on it. You still in school?
Yes, I am. I'm a sophomore at El Capitan High School.
Oh, good old El Capitan. What do you plan to do once you graduate?
I want to go to cosmetology school. Cool. I want to be a hairdresser.
Yeah. Very good. Well, it's a great industry. Let me tell you, I've been going to the same hairdresser myself for 30 plus years, and I drive from Alpine to Escondido. That's how loyal I am.
Oh my word!
Yeah, I know.
That is quite the travel time. Yes, with gas prices, you know.
But as a person that cuts hair, if you see my hair, you will appreciate the fact that I drive, because the left is totally different than the right. And it took Cindy years to figure it out, because she says, I wouldn't wish your hair on anybody. I don't know if that's a compliment.
Well, a good hairdresser knows how to make you look good.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So what color is your car?
My car is white, and I have blue and orange graphics.
Okay. What's your number?
MO7.
Okay. Is there any
Yep.
Is there any story behind that?
Well, I was born in 2007. Oh. And my name starts with an M.
Oh, how difficult could that be, right?
It's surprisingly a very common number in the race world.
Yeah. Well, 7, you know, because they think it's lucky. See, I'd be 34, but that's just me. So I'll probably see you out at the track. I'll be riding a little motorcycle, and it's a monkey, and it's got Racer Radio painted all over it. So if you see me, flag me down. But I will definitely have to come out and check out your pits and say hi to the family.
Yes, and that would be awesome. More than welcome.
Yeah, and what I would like to do, too, just to add to your portfolio, because you know it's all about the sponsors, it's all about family. So what I would like to do is invite you to KUSI TV to bring your car in and invite all your sponsors, whether they come or not, that's up to them. Just the fact that you're giving them an opportunity to be on TV is huge, because you know it's all about giving back to your sponsors. So Brittany will get you all the contact information, because she'll send you this show, so you'll have it for your, you know, to put in your files, as the saying goes. But I'd love to have you come on down and get on TV and get a little exposure there. And that helps out, too, in case you're looking for more sponsors. You know, they love it when you do more than just take their sticker.
Yeah, that would be greatly appreciated, and sounds like such a great opportunity for my sponsors that I already have and for future sponsors.
Yeah.
So partnerships and for myself to build my racing career.
Well, and just like what we're doing right now, talking on radio, doing interviews, you know, if you plan to do this for any length of time, and it sounds like you do, you know, then you have to get skills other than driving. You can be the greatest driver in the world, but if you can't talk, then it's kind of hard for sponsors to back you. But you are going to do extremely well. I can just tell by this interview that you're you definitely are passionate, and fun is the number one reason you're doing it, but you sound like you're a tiny bit competitive.
Definitely. I have a strong competitive sense once it comes to racing. I love winning and shoving it in everybody's face. All fun and games, though.
Oh, yes. All fun and games. All right, kiddo. Well, hey, thank you very much for taking time out of your Sunday and giving us a call. Like I said, Brittany will send you the show, and we'll get you on TV next. What do you think?
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You take care, and we'll talk to you down the road. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. Dirt Dude's going to call in, and we'll chat a little bit about what's going to be happening at Barona this year, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Brittany's coming back from the desert, celebrating her 50th birthday, so hats off to her. Hope she had a wonderful time. This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, located at 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. They've moved the used car department over to that location, so it's a one-stop shop, whether you're looking at new, used, plus service department will work on every car in your driveway. That's right. Factory-trained technicians more than happy to keep your fleet running by only having to go to one dealership. How cool is that? Paul Dyke races out at Barona, and sometimes the sun does too, PJ. And we can't thank El Cajon Ford and Paul Dyke and his team for supporting Racer Radio for as long as it's been on air. Can't thank them enough. Right now, hey, we got Dirt Dude on the line, and I know he is really getting excited and cannot wait to get on the track. How you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, man. Like, it's a long dry period, I guess. Just been watching a lot of racing.
Doesn't it feel like it? God, it just feels like it's taking forever.
Well, we're already, what, 3 months down? So, I mean, yeah, it feels like it's been forever, and it feels like it's going to be forever. But, you know, we're just right around the corner. By April 1st, we're going to be kicking it off.
And then all of a sudden, it's going to go like a rocket. And you're going to say, oh, man, the season's over already?
Yeah, with 16 races on the schedule, I mean, they go by pretty quick.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're listening, but we had Macy Constance. She's on. This will be her second year racing out of Barona.
She did really good last year, and she's good friends with Winona Ragland. That's another young lady that they both pit together, and the families, like, know each other. So, yeah, they kind of grew up in this sport compact thing.
Well, you know, we're starting to see more and more families, you know, just out of the blue coming in and starting to race, which, you know, the classes are starting to get larger. You know, everything from the dwarfs to the, but I think this sport compact class, you know, give it a few more years, and I think it's going to be huge.
It's one of those things. It's a great entry level spot. I mean, you can pick up sport compacts or make your own sport compact pretty easily and pretty inexpensive. So, I mean, it's not like you're going full IMCA modified, you know, that's going to tour, but you can still tour with an IMCA sport compact. And still have the same rules for every track, like from here all the way back to what you're talking about, Boone, back in Indiana, Idaho, all over the place.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's like you said, it's a inexpensive way to get into racing. And, you know, she sounds pretty competitive. I think she sounds to me like she's going after a trophy this year, I think.
I probably wouldn't doubt it, but I mean, she's got a lot of drivers in that class are really good, because that's, for basically a starting out class, you know, I've got a whole list of drivers that have been running there and been very well, been doing very well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just name drop a couple names. I mean, like, Billy Faust, Andrew Schmidt, you know, all these people have been, you've talked to before.
Sure.
Macy Constance, that's who you were talking to. Mm-hmm. Mike Agorian, you know, a lot of these guys are coming out of Yuma, Arizona. Enzo Deckers, you know, so there's a lot of people, a lot of drivers in this class that are very good. So,
well, and I
just
think
jumping into a start class, though.
Yeah, and I think it's a compliment to the Salazars and their team by putting a great track together for these cars and drivers to run on. I think with the addition of Mark Rose, who's probably going to try to bring some money to the divisions, I think 23 is going to be a great year at Barona, personally.
I'm hoping so. I mean, every year I hope we learn something, and for the next year, like last year, you know, having Mark Rose come in now as the new race director, he's seen what we've had in the past, and I'm sure he's got his spin on the way he wants to kind of run the series in his direction for being race director. you know, that would, now we're going to have to find people to cover. He was running all the tech area, so we're going to have to find some more people to run tech. You know, every year grading that track and working that track, it's become a little bit different. So, I mean, like, there's been three different kind of general managers in the last 3 years that have came through, and each one wants to do their own thing in a different way. And Todd has been, you know, working with all of them, and he's like seeing what works and what doesn't work and how to make it, you know, work better. Like, we always used to cut the track during intermission. Last year, we didn't never have to cut the track during intermission. We just, you know, rolled it back in, maybe, you know, a little bit, put a little bit of water on it. All depends on how the night went. Depends on, you know, the weather, heat, wind, everything, and the amount of cars you put on it, how much you're driving, how much you're racing on it. You know, we actually used to do a hot lap session, and we kind of dropped that because, you know, that's seven different divisions on that track, putting more time on it and burning it out where you can save it and just start going to your heat races.
Right. No, you're, and I think that's the key to Barona. And I think if you talk to anybody, they'll tell you, you're learning every race. I mean, every race, it's different. And it's not anything that you can necessarily control, but you learn from it. And you try to make each and every race, you know, better than the last for the drivers and for the fans.
Well, it's the same thing. Like, a driver has a book that they know, like, you know, wind and then temperature and, you know, the humidity. They know what kind of a setup to use because they've raced long enough. I know a guy that had a dwarf car, and then he went to a junior sprint or a lightning sprint, and he had a, he actually had a book. Like, he actually had a book, all his stuff that he did for dwarf cars throughout his career. He would make notes every night after racing what his setup was, what the temperature was, what the humidity was, you know, and then kind of so he could look back if he ever goes, like, oh, this is the wind that we're having, or the temperature we're having now, the humidity we're having, this is what the setup I went with before, and it worked in that time. So it's just basically, and I think we're doing the same thing. Like, Todd has got an idea now what really works and what, you know, makes that thing really go faster.
Of course, then when you get 5,000 gallons of rain, that does sort of change things. Have you been out to the track? I know April's a long way away, but good Lord, that was a lot of rain. I was hearing 11, 12 inches.
I live in Escondido, and I had 6 inches on one weekend. I had 2.5 one day, 2.5 the next day, and another inch after that on the next day.
That's crazy.
My yard is still flooded.
Is it still soggy?
Oh, yeah, it's still draining. It's still draining.
Yeah, well, I've talked to people with swimming pools. Oh, my goodness, my pool's going to overflow. What am I going to do? There's not a lot you can do.
Enjoy it while you can, because when it comes back around the summer, you know the water rates are going to be crazy, and we're not going to have water, and just never-ending cycle.
Yeah, never-ending. So, yeah, so, you know, everybody's anxious to go racing, but it, like you said, it's going to come soon enough. The Barona schedule is out, so that's good. So everybody can, you know, look through that and find out just what races they plan to go to, if not all of them. I think they should go to all of them, if you ask me.
Yeah, I would recommend all of them, but if not, you know, opening day, ending day, you know, there's a couple of good, like when we do our trunk or treat.
Yeah,
we have a whole array of stuff on the schedule. You know, I see we have lightning sprints on there, and then the sport compacts, streets, modifieds, ponies, everything's on there. Dwarf cars.
Yeah, I think it's a good cross section, you know. And I think, what are you going to throw the lawnmowers in every once in a while?
I think they're on the list too. You know, it's one of those things. I know those guys that they had our home track. Our track is their home track, and I since with the whole COVID and everything, and I know those SoCal mowers, they were staying more up in like not as central, but like Inland Empire.
Yeah.
They're all up in that area. Yeah. So I think they found another track up there that they were doing a show at, like their smaller tracks. So
yeah, but
I know that they want to come back and run at our track.
Well,
it's
I know,
always fun to watch them.
I know they love to come down. So you and I need to get together maybe next week or the week after and put together a couple of weekends for KUSI, you know, so that way we can spread it out instead of trying to get every division on one day. Maybe I can slip you a couple of Sundays and we'll split it up and, you know, get certain groups to come in and see how many, you know, just take a look at the schedule and check with the drivers and see who wants to come to KUSI, and then we'll put like maybe four or five per day, and then we'll just divide that into how many drivers and how many days I can give you.
Well, I'm hoping that this year kind of pans out, and like, you know, we're not going to conflict too much. I know, you know, Parrish has their schedule out. Yeah. We have our schedule. Kokopo has their schedule. And then we start getting into the fair season. I've already told the Burn Institute that I would like to do their event again. So I will be doing it that Sunday again.
Good. Thank you.
That is the June 11th, I think.
Yeah, I think it
is. Have a race on the 10th. I got to try and recover and be at the Demolition Derby the next day on the Sunday.
You're not going to be worth nothing on Monday, let me tell you.
Last time I did that, I didn't have a voice for probably a month. I mean, I was lucky. I had like a week off.
Yeah.
And
isn't it funny when you do that silly Burn Institute? I mean, you yell and yell, and you know nobody can hear you because it's so loud, but you just can't help yourself.
Yeah, but even like there was like downtime that I was actually just, you know, interviewing people who were walking the track and talking about stuff. And it was just like, you never get a break. But I mean, it was really cool. And, you know, the lady that put the whole thing on, she sent me a note saying, hey, you know, we really loved having you there. We, you know, a lot of people complimented. I'm like, yeah, right. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
But then when she reached out again, I was like, oh, yeah, I would love to do it again.
Sure. And it's so fun. It's all firemen and, you know, and it's giving back to the Burn Institute. You know, they keep wanting me to go to the camp for scars. And I don't know if I can go see all these poor little kids all burned. It's just I'm just too weak.
The people that can do that are amazing.
I know
that would just, you know, open up their heart.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad that they want me to do this, and it's a good chance for me to volunteer my time. I do volunteer that weekend or that day for the Burn Institute and don't charge them anything. And,
No.
You know?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. All right.
They're working with a professional here.
Yeah, I hear you there, brother. Well, hey, we can't thank you for everything you do. You're an amazing announcer, seriously. And I know everybody loves having you out there, and they're all looking forward to it. And I look forward to putting some KUSIs together and appreciate you calling in.
I get by. I love having fun. You know, that's pretty much what I'm there for.
All right, buddy. All right, we're going to let you go. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll be talking to you down the road.
All right, see you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, where you haven't lived until you've been to Paris. That is the most fun track you could ever go to. It's dirt clay. It's been around for a long time, and it is fast. Schedule's out. Take a look. Pick a race. Pick them all. Scott Delosio is the announcer, and he will entertain you throughout the whole night. And I'm happy to support Paris. By the way, we don't have Scott on the line. We do?
You have somebody else, though.
Who do we have? A surprise?
A surprise. Kyle.
Surprise guest. Hey, Kyle, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, Dave, how are you doing this weekend?
Not doing bad at all. So,
hey, great. Yeah, we're doing good over here, too.
Okay, so I think, where are you at?
We're in Ramona. Yeah, we're in Ramona with a couple other racers that live over here by Verona.
So... Do you go to Paris very often?
Oh, I love going to Paris. Paris is and probably always has been my favorite track for the speed. And like you were saying earlier, the clay there builds up a nice cushion and you can really get moving there. And the racing is tight and fun. And the battles, you just never know when anything will happen there. It's always fun to go there.
Yeah. What division do you run in?
This year we're running a modified like we have. I've been running modifieds for about over 10 years.
Really?
This last year, we got an offer for a sprint car, but we have to bring a big part of the deal, which is an engine. And so I'm still trying to work on that. There's a big cost difference between a modified engine and a sprint car engine. but we're working on it.
Yeah. And, you know, usually people who get into modifieds, you know, they're pretty happy in a modified. I mean, because it gives you everything that you want in a modified. I mean, you got the speed, you got the handling, you got the competition.
Yeah, when you're going down the straightaway and you go into the corner and the whole car slams to the right side and takes the left front tire off the ground and you're just hammered down just to make sure the car stays turning and it doesn't go straight on you right into the wall. It's a full-on race car, and I definitely I've been doing it for a long time, and there's no reason for me to stop. If I did get the sprint car deal going, I would definitely stay racing modifieds.
Yeah, you can do them both. I mean, you know, really when it comes right down to it.
Definitely, yeah. There's definitely never enough race cars.
Well, that and a little bit of sponsorship, too, doesn't hurt to help get you down the road.
Yeah, sponsors is a big thing. That's I know back in the day when I was younger and my dad was more involved with racing himself, we had a lot more sponsors then, but it seemed like everybody had a little bit more money to go racing and have more fun with. But we're still doing it. We're still doing it. And we're looking for sponsors anytime we can get them.
Well, see, so that brings up the point that what you need to do is reach out to me before you hang up after this interview. I'll have Brendan give you my email address. Send me an email. What we'll do is we'll get you to come to KUSI TV, and you know, we'll just pitch people for sponsorship. And when sponsors know that you can offer them more than a place to put their sticker, you know, and they know that they can come on, you know, a TV station and get some coverage, you'd be surprised, you know, how advertisers might loosen up a little bit. Plus, it's good to give back.
Great.
And plus, it's good to give back to the ones you got.
Yeah, definitely. The ones I've got, I've had for a long time, and it doesn't seem like they're going anywhere.
Yeah, who you got?
I really appreciate having them.
Let's give them a little love.
Now we got Drone Saint Productions. He's actually at Barone and Paris. He's the guy flying the drone around, chasing the race cars, getting right up in their business, and he gets all the great shots.
He does. He does some good stuff.
Yeah, he does. He's amazing with what he does with that little drone. The next sponsor I have is going to be Team Friday Chassis Consultants, but they're all the way in Arkansas.
Really?
They're pretty far away. Yeah, it's Jason Friday. He's very, very intelligent. He knows exactly what's going on with these 4-bar modifieds, and he's done a lot for me in the last 2 years with racing these cars. After that, it's just going to be Brian's Racing and Santee. They're currently making some special parts for us on this car that we got from another driver here in Ramona, Koldick. It's one of his older cars, but it's some of the stuff's newer to us, and Brian's Racing, they've been doing it for I don't even know how long, and their expertise is helping us every step of the way with this car. We should be able to stay on schedule as far as making I think we're going to try to make a practice in 2 weeks at El Centro, and they're definitely making it so we can get there.
Yeah, that's a new track that they've resurrected. It's at the fairgrounds, Imperial Valley.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Which
I'm... Yeah, well, actually, when I was 15 years old, I raced there in a modified. I'm 29 now.
Wow.
And I was 15, and that was the half mile then, and that track, you were doing well over 100 miles an hour in a modified.
Yeah, and when's the last time you've seen a track come back? You know, normally, once they're gone,
Cocoa
they're gone.
Like that. Yeah, Cocoa Paw, actually, my dad raced in a dwarf car, and I believe it was about 1995. And that track was shut down for a long time. And I believe it was Benji Lyons. No, actually, it was Greg Burgess.
Wow.
He resurrected that track himself a couple years ago.
Yeah. I mean, wherever I go to tracks, I always wear, I have my Cajon Speedway jacket. And
and
everybody looks at it and go, oh, yeah, I remember Cajon Speedway. And I try to find the promoter. And I tell him, I go, dude, don't let this happen here. Don't let this happen to your track. Whatever you have to do, don't let it happen, because it takes an army, you know, to keep it alive and well. And my dream is eventually get all these local tracks to work a series.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I know where these modifieds are a lot more popular in Dakota and Iowa.
Right.
They run series like that, and they all the tracks definitely work together. There's a lot more racing that way. I don't know if we could actually afford to race as much as they do it over there.
Yeah. Well, and it's car count, too, because the more cars you bring to a track, you know, the more chances you have of running. But, yeah, it's not super cheap. It's not like, yeah. So it's got to be making every, you got to be able to make some money too. And that's what I'm starting to see. The tracks are starting to find ways to, you know, to give the drivers an opportunity to make a little bit of money.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm seeing as well, as along with Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet making their new sprint car series. And it's a Hunts Up Front YouTube series. The guy who actually drives that, I forget his name, he's starting a new late model series, and they're all starting to pay a lot of money. And I don't know exactly how they're making it happen, but it's impressive.
I didn't know Kyle Larson was starting a series.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I haven't kept up too much about it, but I heard about it a couple months ago. It was Brad Sweet, I believe, is his brother-in-law, and him are starting some type of sprint car series.
Interesting.
Yeah, it'd be a wing thing, so I don't know too much about that. The sprint car I'm interested is wingless.
Yeah, and I'm not bagging on wing cars, but to me, you know, wing car puts so much down pressure on it, it's just, you know, just cruising around the track. You take that wing off and you just unleashed the beast.
Exactly, yeah. Paris, when those sprint cars are going through one and two in the heat race, sideways, pulling wheelies, still going through the corner, there's nothing like it.
Hey, can you believe Damian Gardner is hanging up his helmet?
I know.
I don't believe a lot of these guys. I don't believe it either.
I know a lot of these guys say they're doing it, but they end up out on the track somehow.
All they got to do is smell the fuel and the oil, and they'll be back.
Yeah, he'll go on one vacation, see racing on TV, and want to be back in the seat.
I've always enjoyed interviewing. Hey, he's pretty cool. And then all of them, you know, Swanson and all the guys up there. But what color's your car?
This one's black. These modifieds, it seems like most of them are, unless you go out of your way to get one that isn't. Preferably, we like a lighter color chassis because these things do move, and it's easier to see cracks on a chassis that isn't black.
Of course,
work with what we can.
I was going to say that means you have to tear the whole thing completely down and paint it and what have you. But
yeah, we try to avoid that, but it seems we have to do that more often than we'd like to.
Yeah, what's your number?
It's 93.
Is there 93. Any rhyme nor reason to that number?
I was born in 1993, and actually I used to be number 77, and the kid I bought this car from, I sold him a car a long time ago with my 77 on there, and he just kept it and ran it, so I had to change my number.
Don't you just hate that?
I'll get him back here soon.
Yeah, I have a CV, you know. So you got a pretty good crew under you?
Yeah, I got my grandpa. He's started all this. We're in his shop. He's the one with all the equipment, all the know-how.
Wow.
Pontoon stuff that all of our setup guys and Brian's racing, all the guys that make our products tell us how to do it. He makes sure that he double-checks me and my dad. My dad's definitely a crew chief, and he does everything. He's working on the car right now. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even know how a battery would work.
Yeah. Are we talking about Eddie Bryans?
Yeah, it's Eddie Bryans, and I believe his name, his son also works down there. They're awesome to work with, and they know their stuff.
I actually think it's the other way around. I think his son owns the business, and Eddie works for his kid. Yeah.
Oh,
so the next time you go down there, next time you go there, you tell him, hey, I understand there's a Dave Stahl special on anything you do. And watch
them. Yeah, I'll have to let them know.
Watch the look on there. Well, Eddie and I used to do a safety training for the military, motorcycles and cars. And we were going all over the United States trying to keep these military kids from killing themselves. But you're right.
Yeah.
Eddie can set up a car, let me tell you.
Yes. Yeah, they do from the ground up, and seems like everything that comes out of that shop is top tier.
Yeah, but if you want to have fun with him, ask him if he can do laundry.
Ask him if he can do laundry. I'll have to remember that.
He has no clue. We were on a trip, and he said he had to go do laundry. He tried to get Sandy Rose Bowler to do it. She goes, no, you go do it. So he just throws his clothes in the machine and starts it up. Didn't have any soap in it. Didn't know you had to put soap in it. It was so funny. Yeah, you can have a lot of fun.
Sometimes when you're working late.
He's a great guy.
When you're working hard, working late, yeah, you forget the soap.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, and his cars are all black. You're right. So, in fact, I've got one of his hoods in my garage, and it's black.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what. When you hang up, like I said, don't hang up. And I'll get Brendan to give you my email address. And I'm more than happy to have you come down to KUSI and promote your car and, you know, put the word out and, you know, bring the family. And it'll be a lot of fun. And it'll be good. You can, that way you'll have some live tape of you being interviewed in the car. And you can put that in your portfolio when you're out looking for sponsorships.
Yeah, definitely. I'd really appreciate that opportunity. And I have some sponsors that they'd really appreciate it too.
Right. He'll give you my email. Let me look, see if he's in there. I think he went downstairs to grab my second guest coming out so we get to chat for a little bit. Because, okay. You know, to me, you know, it's all about giving back to the racers. Because, you know, if I can help you guys, you know, keep on the track. And, in fact, Brittany, who's my co-host, she's celebrating her 50th birthday this weekend. She drives a dwarf car.
And yeah, I'm familiar with her. I've seen her out there on the track.
She is a hoot. We call her the racing school teacher. But I got her power steering by giving the company that made the power steering some airtime. So you just never know, you know, what you're going to come up with and where it's going to be, really.
Yeah, definitely. When you're a race car family, you know, everything helps. Everything you can do to get back on the track, it takes it.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, yes. It's Paris, have you been to Barona?
Yeah, I actually grew up there. I do a lot of racing there. Their car count's been pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the racing that we can go do as far as Paris and like Mojave, even over there right outside of Needles, it just seems like the drivers come from far and around to go to those tracks, mm-hmm. and I try to race with the most talented guys I can.
Right. Well, that's it. That's it. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so we're good. He's on the phone right now with my next guest. What I'm going to have you do is just stay on the line, and he'll give you that info and try to get you down there before the season starts.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care, and we'll be right back. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Greg has an in-house dyno, so anything he does on your car, he can back it up with a dyno slip. Also does general repair, RVs, off-road buggies, you name it, he does it. He's become the Mopar king here in San Diego. And you'll have to ask him about that. Hey, on the last minute, I reached out to my good buddy, Norm DeWitt, who I haven't talked to and I can't remember when. Happy New Year's, my friend, and how you been?
Doing good, Dave. I just figure the topic of the day is probably the new Daytona prototypes cars. They've resurrected the old name GTP from the glory days of IMSA. And these cars that are running in the Daytona 24 Hours this year are also going to be legal to run at the Centenary 24 Hours of Le Mans in June.
You think that was that a cost factor?
No, I think it was the fact that it's been kind of a Toyota parade the last few years in the world endurance side. That they decided that they better come to some sort of agreement to get the manufacturer count up, because, you know, the big hybrid cars were great, but eventually when, you know, $100 million a year budgets or whatever the hell it was something like that, kind of drove eventually the manufacturers out.
Right.
And it made it very hard for them to get anything but a cottage industry entries. I'm not meaning to diss companies like, you know, Bicolas or Glickenhaus, but it's not Toyota, and they don't have the resources of a Toyota.
Exactly.
And so now we've got, some of the teams, unfortunately, that are racing in GTP in the United States and IMSA are not going to be running at Le Mans this year. Most notably, Acura and BMW. Their prototypes are staying here.
Interesting.
But the Cadillac prototypes, Ganassi is running the full WEC schedule as well as the IMSA schedule with a single car program in each, and they're going to run both cars at Le Mans. And Peugeot's got a two-car team for Le Mans. Toyota has a two-car team for Le Mans. Ferrari has a two-car team for Le Mans. Porsche, I think, has a couple of two-car teams for Le Mans. They've just announced Bicolis has rebranded themselves Vanwall after that famous British Formula One team.
Yeah, I remember.
And they've got this signed Jacques Villeneuve as one of their drivers.
Really?
Yeah.
So what about Aston Martin? What about Aston Martin?
Aston is they're running in the GT category. That's all been condensed now into a single GT category. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's going to get interesting. Is the Corvette is running in the same category as all the privateers. And they've kind of rebranded themselves as not necessarily a full on factory team, but it's the yellow C8R.
Yeah.
And Ben Keating is involved in it, and Ben's been at Le Mans. He won last year for Aston Martin. A few years ago, it appeared he'd won with Ford GT, and then they disqualified his car for some sort of refueling snafu.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a heck of a year at Le Mans, plus the 100th anniversary of the event. But this weekend was qualifying for the 24 Hours of Daytona, and it is tight. The fastest car was one of the Meyer Shank Acuras.
Mm-hmm.
And second place, 1/10 of a second behind, is a Penske Porsche.
Whoa.
So
it's going to be good for the fans.
Oh, yeah. And, bet against Penske Porsche at your peril.
Yeah.
We all remember the Can-Am days of lore with Mark Donohue and that blue and yellow 917-30.
Yeah, yeah.
So it should be a fantastic year for endurance racing.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a fantastic year for just about any racing, only because, last year was coming out of the COVID and everybody was still trying to get organized. And I think this year, local, regional, and national and international, I think you're going to see some outstanding racing.
I think there's a lot of us that are a little, that we were tired for years of watching a Mercedes parade in Formula One, and now it's kind of a Red Bull parade in Formula One. And I'm hopeful that there'll be Ferrari and Mercedes will raise their game and be able to give Red Bull a little bit more of a headache than they were able to last year.
Yeah, I agree. Are you going to be able to make Le Mans this year for the 100th?
I got my invitation for credentials. We'll have to see. So that just showed up in my email box a day or two ago. So people are planning ahead because it is the 100th anniversary of the first Le Mans. And everything that's ever done anything at Le Mans is going to show up there as part of the celebration.
Yeah, and it's not going to be just a two-day event. I mean, you're going to have to at least spend a week there to really take it all in.
You kind of have to anyway.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Plus, try to find a place to stay.
Qualifying is Wednesday and Thursday night, and then Friday is the parade, and then Saturday and Sunday is the 24 hours. So you've got, you better be there for a week.
Yeah, and you better do it now, like you said, if you're going to get a room.
Yeah.
Well, at least you don't mark them up.
I suspect the demand this year will be much higher than
you think
than in recent years. Although 2014 and 15, when it was Porsche versus Audi versus Toyota versus Nissan, there was an awful lot of people there to see those wars.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the season coming up. Yeah, would I like to go to the 100? Absolutely. Will I be able to? Probably not. I don't have a big enough outlet, even with this show, I mean, to be able to get credentials to go over there and have somebody foot the bill. But it would be fun.
It's an incredible experience.
I'm just going to pick on you. I'm just going to go through you. I'm going to go through you vicariously.
It's the one time of the year when they take the street, the road that runs from Le Mans down to Mulsanne, and then the road from Mulsanne over to Arnage, and they turn those roads into part of a racing track. And in the mornings, people are driving to work, and then they close it a couple hours before practice starts in the late afternoon. So it's really kind of strange driving on the racetrack to the track in the morning.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you can't leave early, that's for sure.
It's a unique experience. Yeah, in 2016, I was on the pit wall to shoot the finish with Toyota where they were going to win for the first time, and the car rolled to a stop right in front of me.
Oh.
And I was confused because my watch said it was 3 o'clock. And the crowds were going crazy, and I thought, where's checkered flag?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized my watch was a couple minutes off, and it was really that the leading Toyota had stopped after 23 hours and 57 minutes.
Oh, God. Talk about a heartbreaker. Oh,
and my God. And the Toyota 91, or the Porsche 919, Neil Gianni went flashing by, and I looked over my shoulder, and everybody in the Porsche garage was rolling on the floor screaming. They were going crazy. And I looked over at the Toyota garage, and, you know, people were literally in each other's arms crying. You can't manufacture that kind of drama.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to be tapping you when you get down there or when you get back, and we can do some preview stuff. And I got to start bugging you more often, man, because you're always a joy to talk to. Thank you very much. And we'll get you on air down the road.
Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Nice talking to you.
All right, folks, you know what's coming up next. Gun Owners Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.